Today we have ourselves a Norm Nathan show from June 30th and a taste of July 1st, 1995. It's a great way to end June and pack up for a lovely July vacation. That reason, among others, is why I've named it A Trunkful of Fun. Norm was filling in for Bob Raleigh, so we have guests and lots of callers. This ride gets bumpy sometimes with a bunch of jump cuts to other calls and subjects. The first guest was Tom Hamill, editor of Collecting Toys magazine. At the time, the highest circulation toy magazine in the country. He also was involved with a couple of other toy-related publications, Toy Shop magazine and The Toy Collector and Price Guide. Unfortunately, the entire interview is not here, but enjoyable nonetheless. Then we cut to Norm listening to a message he left on some voicemail. Then we jump back to Norm teasing the upcoming guest for the week, Mike Blake, author of Baseball's Bad Hops and Lucky Bounces, Al and Carolyn Burrell, who restored and lived in two converted caboose rail cars, David Stewart, who walked 1,600 miles from his home in Gillette, Wyoming, to Nashville, Tennessee, so he could be on the Grand Ole Opry, Antiques with Terry Covell, and the 27th annual Covell's Antiques and Collectibles Price List. If you didn't have to hold your applause for that, please hold your applause until I've completed reading the list of callers. Thank you. Betty in Cambridge, Ed from Malden, Jeanette from Pembroke, Ontario, Canada. Then suddenly we are transported to some host on WCCM playing the dumb birthday game with Sid Whitaker? What the hey? Then we have a caller, Tony, with Caterpillar jokes from 1936. Norm talks under the conversation, and it is so funny. I loved when he did this. Some nights I couldn't breathe. It was so hilarious. On to our next guest, Mike Blake. The interview is a bit choppy, but we do get a bunch of great stories, and they take a call from Ivy, who, turns out, is the mother of Phil and Joe Necro. Crazy. We get an unknown caller. The only one here, I believe. Christine, who wants to talk to Jack Hart, and he sings a tune, and Norm joins in. Then Angela's on line one and sings too, beautifully, I might add. A super sweet call from Kathy, who's a U.S. mail hauler, going to school, and has a young family. Laurie, then Marie in Rockport, refers back to the Tony call about the caterpillar joke, though she calls him Joe. Mike Epstein tells a story about getting a parking ticket in Rockport, and Mary is on the line and feels Mike's pain. Dottie from Chelsea, and accusations against Fred. Could she mean Fred from Medford? Oh boy, now I'm going to hear from him. Norm speaks with Anthony Silva as they head to the 5 a.m. news. And now, here is our taste of July 1st. Teasers of guests again about the cabooses and the Grand Ole Opry Walker guy. Then we get calls from David talking about his 14-year-old daughter Dusty, who had played the dumb birthday game the night before. That's a great call. And a caller talking about jump rope jingles. We are treated to some show opens throughout. Norm makes a dumb birthday game announcement to the throngs of listeners gathered outside the studio. Jack traffic reports, a very funny traffic report from Paul Drake on WBNW, Norm and Mike Epstein chit-chat, a Paul Sullivan live tease for Norm's show, and Norm talks about the wind. Last but not least, our commercial content is from Excel Printing, True Value, twice, Dunkin' Donuts Coffee, and Star Market. Episode 241, A Trunk Full of Fun, packs its way to your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
Norm Nathan Show.
Heaven's sakes, it's not the Norm Nathan Show. It's the Bob Raleigh Show. When will you guys ever get anything straight? The media screws up everything.
That was acting. Anyway, it is the Bob Raleigh Show. I happen to be Norm Nathan, and I just happen to like the way Linda Chase sings my name, and so we do that. It's 8 after midnight. Bob is on vacation. Of Collecting Toys magazine. It's a bi-monthly, which means I always got those terms bi-monthly and semi-monthly mixed up. This comes out every other month, I would assume. Tom, thanks very much for coming on the air with us.
Sure.
Sure, I thought you'd say, hey, I'm just so darn excited. I just put aside my train set so I could spend fully concentrate. Anyway, did you just become the editor of Collecting Toys?
Not that long ago, that's true. I've been the editor for about a year. The magazine is 3 years old now. I've been in the collectible toy field for about 4 years now.
In what other capacity, then, besides the magazine?
I worked for another magazine, which is also based here in Wisconsin. Actually, two others, both of which were toy publications. One is called Toy Shop, and it's primarily a shopper's guide. And the other one was Toy Collector and Price Guide.
Is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is that sort of the toy capital of the world or something?
No. It just seems to work out that way, I guess. Collecting toys is a bimonthly. It comes out six times a year. And in the three-year lifespan, it has become the highest circulation toy magazine in America.
Like what? What would the circulation be?
We average about 40,000 copies sold per issue.
That's great. It's a good-looking magazine, too. It's a, as we in the publishing field say, it's a good paper. It's a, the color jobs are excellent. It's a real sleek-looking looking magazine.
Well, that's what sets it apart, really, from the other magazines in the field. We have the highest editorial standards. We present an all-round better product. It's more beautiful. It's better written, I don't mind saying, and it we really go after the stories that nobody else can manage getting.
Now, when you talk about collecting toys, we talking adults or kids or both? Do adults collect a lot of adults?
Decades. There have been toy collectors for dozens of years, more than that, actually. There's actually a magazine that's been on the field for over 20 years, it's devoted entirely to antique toys.
Okay, so there's a good antique toy market. If you hold on to your toys long enough, they become more valuable through the years, I would guess. Like, for example...
That's absolutely right.
I know that you don't... Your magazine, I don't think it deals with antique toys particularly, does it? Doesn't appear to be the issue I'm looking at.
That is part of our mix, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Okay. For example... toys going way back. What kind of toys would be valuable now? What kind of toys should people have saved? I know that's a general kind of thing. One of the things I was thinking of, just to let you know what was going through my mind, I was thinking of the kind of toys kids would send away for on the old radio shows back in the 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Orphan Annie secret decoder pin and various rings and that kind of stuff. Are they valuable at all today?
Absolutely. Those were examples. You're talking about early radio premiums, and they were expanded to cereals, bread, you name it. Also,
in the Leechmere department store in Cambridge, and he was buying. He was in the washer dryer section, and he was arguing about bait and switch. It seems as though the salesman was trying to sell him something other than what he went in for. That was the cheap markdown model that was in the ad. The guy was trying to upgrade that, sell him a more expensive thing. And he really got irate and stormed out of the store into the parking lot, and I kind of lost track of him at that point. That's Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you very much.
we are nuts.
One, to review your...
No, let's
put
the...
Two.
Mike Blake, who wrote a book called Baseball's Bad Hops and Lucky Bounces, which includes a whole bunch of stories, about 750 of them, about America's pastime, which I guess would include... I don't know what your pastime, your favorite pastime is, but we're talking baseball, from superstitions to nicknames to wacky plays and quotes and all kinds of stuff like that. That should be quite a good deal of fun. And on Friday, let me see, I'm losing track of days here, but the day after that, which would be Friday, there's a couple in, I'm not sure where they live, but their home is made out of two old cabooses, you know, train cabooses, hooked to a smaller home that's shaped like a train depot. And we'll talk with them. They're the Burrells, Al and Carolyn Burrell. And they'll tell us just why they purchased the trains and what it was like to restore them. But obviously, train buffs and the cabooses, you know, those are those little trains, the little cars at the end of the train. You knew that anyway. And we'll be talking with a man named David Stewart. David Stewart left his home in Gillette, Wyoming, and walked 1,600 miles to Nashville, Tennessee, so that he could be on the Grand Ole Opry. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a question from one of the kids here, the Tin Cat Team. The question was, wouldn't an airplane, the question by some unimaginative little punk kid here in the teen canteen is, wouldn't a plane have been that much faster? Now, the idea was he had a whole crew, including his wife, who's back in Gillette, doing publicity for him, and he had a road manager, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't done quietly. The idea was to get as much publicity as he could so that by the time he got to Nashville, how could they turn him down? You know, he made the papers and did tons of interviews. And weary and having lost about 30 pounds, kindly fell in into Nashville, Tennessee. And I shouldn't tell you the final part of this, too, because it's not a surprise, Andy. He did get on the Grand Ole Opry. I don't know whether you've heard of him. Have you, David Stewart? Is that a name that sounds at all familiar to you? Anyway, we'll be talking with him, and then we'll be talking about antiques with Terry Cavell, who's been on with us before. She and her husband have a new edition of their book, the 27th annual Cavell's Antiques and Collectibles Price List 1995. Sort of like the talk we had a little bit earlier with Tom Hamill about toys, only this will include all kinds of collectibles. So that's just the beginning. I mean, as you can hear by this list of people we have on this paper, you're in tons, night after night, just stars just blooming here. Okay, we'll take a break for a couple of commercials and stuff. The phone number is 254-1030, area code 617. I don't mind telling you, it's incredibly quiet. Incredibly quiet. Can't imagine why. 617-254-1030 is the area code. I wanted to mention also to you before we take that commercial break, Katie Couric of, you've heard she's a pregnant with her second child. I love events like that. Those are such nice stories to tell.
As you always, you tuned in on Nathan. He's one of the greats. Right here on BZ, reaching 38 states. I'm singing this song so you'll know. It's time for your Nathan Show. When the day-to-day world starts to drive you insane. Your makes you laugh and keeps spirits bright. Tune in 10:30 and call Norm tonight. Hey, out there in radio land, you tuned to Norm Nathan and he's at your command. So stay here and listen, then you'll understand. He's a habit you'll never outgrow. But right now, Norm Nathan Show. I said, right now, Norm Nathan Show. Here's Norm.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. The kids have come to life in the teen canteen. That's wonderful. Okay, we are now lighting up. Hold on a minute. Can you put me on the echo on the, I want to talk on the sound system here. Okay, so I have an announcement to make. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
I guess you can hear me out there. We are now taking applications for the dumb birthday game. You will be accepted on a number of criteria set up by our producer, Mike Epstein. Is this on?
Yes, it's on.
Yeah, I guess it's on. Just call Mike if you would like to be put on that list of possibilities by calling Mike at, and I can repeat this just once right now, but probably 80 million times before the end of the program, 257-1030. No, I'll repeat it again. 254-1030. Area code 617. Hello? Okay. Okay, will you turn this off? Okay, it's off. Okay. Thank you very much. Could we play the dumb birthday? This is your offstage announcer now. We play the game after 3 o'clock this morning, and we scour throughout the entire 38 states and Canada and some unknown, uninhabited planets to get the best possible contestants. We can't for the dumb birthday game. And if you happen to be one of them, God love you, you're set for life. Okay, let's take some calls. 254-1030, same number, by the way. Let's talk with Betty in Cambridge.
Baked lobster is $3.05. Now, this is a, you know, this is the ass the roof. This isn't just the automat.
No, that's right.
Cocktails were from 45 to 55 cents each.
Well, I still am not totally caught up in the players with the Red Sox, the new ones. It seems like the whole team is a totally different team. They could call themselves the Des Moines, Iowa Pigeons. Well, maybe they didn't want to do
well,
that.
Well, yeah, that's a bit of an extreme, maybe.
That's an extreme thing, but but I still am not sure. You know, when I hear names of ball players, I'm not sure whether they're for us or for the other team. Because it takes a while to get acclimated. Do you find that? You're a baseball fan.
But I mean, I know just about all of the names of the regular Red Sox players by now, because I hear them on the radio, on the television, whatever. And yeah, you're right. This isn't the same group of people that I've been following for the past number of years. But hey, they're winning.
Hey,
so maybe it's better to have these unfamiliar faces.
Listen, win or lose, it's whoever plays the game, exactly. As long as they play it well. I wonder, there was one thing I was wondering about, too. At one time, they used to have, and this is nothing whatever to do with that, I make leaps, giant leaps into whole other different topics have nothing to do with what we're talking about.
And you do it so smoothly.
Yes, I do.
You really do.
Yeah, I do it very smooth. I was going to talk about double your money back offers. I know that has no relationship, but that's the adorable and unpredictable thing about me, and that's why women just go gaga. They don't use the word gaga anymore either, do they?
I don't think so.
No. But they used to have these double your money back offers where if you didn't like a product, you could return it and not only get your money back, but you get double your money back. And I haven't heard them. I guess the economy maybe is not ripe for that kind of thing anymore. But I remember thinking as a kid what a swell thing that would be. And how wealthy could you get wealthy doing this? You know, like you buy, as I recall that, they had a double your money back offer on some certain soup.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really a boring topic?
No. Because I think nowadays, the closest that I hear to that is I hear a couple of stores saying they'll have a 110% guarantee. So if you are dissatisfied, they'll get your money back. Plus 10%. Now, that's not double your money back.
No, it's not, but at least you can make a little profit each time.
Yeah.
So you bring the stuff back and you get a little profit. On double your money back, you get double. So I was thinking, you go to a store and you buy a can of soup, which at that time used to cost probably like a dime. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm going really back.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going back. Oh, it's awful. The earth still was molten lava, and it was not separated from the sky and the waters. And I thought you'd buy that, and then you'd bring it back, say, yuck, pooey, and you'd get 20 cents, okay? Then you'd go to another store. The only problem was the transportation going from store to store that had the same product.
Yeah.
But each time you double it, eventually you could become quite wealthy, especially...
I suppose you could, but I think as with anything else, I think I'd be afraid that somebody would just, like, catch on and say, no, we're not taking this back from you, Epstein. You brought this back 7 times already.
No, not to the same store. You have to go to different stores.
Oh, different, well.
Oh, no, we had it all plotted out. Anyway, I bought the first can of soup, and I tried it, and it was delicious. From then on, I lost heart about going back. If I had hated that soup, I wouldn't be here today. I'd probably own Westinghouse. It'd be, at the time, it'd be worth taking public transportation to all the different stores. It's kind of funny, though, the kind of stupid ideas that pop in your head when you're a kid. Fortunately, I'm a grown man, and so I don't have stupid ideas popping into my head. What do you say after the program we get on top of the building and jump off with umbrellas, huh?
Okay.
You want to talk with Ed from Malden?
Please.
Okay. Ed, how you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good, Norm. Last night, you had a fella call from New York. He mentioned something about getting fellas together that served, went through basic training in the early 50s up at Sampson Air Force Base and then went on to Korea.
That's correct.
Well, I'm trying to get the address so I can write to him because I was one of those fellas I served 18 years
ago. Okay, I don't have his name. He didn't give me the total information. I think I don't remember whether I asked him to send me all the information or not, but I do have an address you can write to.
Okay.
And you can write directly to Sampson Air Force Base. Well, that, you know that anyway.
Yeah.
Veterans Administration. Is that what the VA would stand for?
Yeah.
Sampson Air Force Base, VA.
Okay.
Geneva, New York.
Geneva, New York.
Now, he didn't have the zip code, so I don't know what that is, and that's all I've got. He called from a town called Interlochen, New York, which I guess is nearby and which is where he lives.
Oh,
and he said there'd be a reunion in mid-September.
Yeah.
But that's all I had. He didn't tell me any more than that, and I think he was going to follow that up with some more information.
Yeah, I hope so, because that isn't much to go on.
Well, could you check with Sampson Air Force Base, the VA up there, or something? Would they know?
Gee, I don't know. I probably could. That would be fine. I'll give that a shot. And if he calls back again, then maybe I'll hear it and then write it down.
Okay. Or if he sends me information, I'll certainly mention that on the air. Now, you served in that group then?
Yeah, in the early 50s, and then went on over to Korea.
Okay.
And spent 18 months over there. And it would be kind of nice to get together with a group of fellows who might have went, who it's been 40-some-odd years now. But
well, it's 45 years. This is the big 45th anniversary, as a matter of fact. Wasn't it? It was in 1950.
1950.
Yeah, so this is the 45th anniversary. As a matter of fact, another guy called me a few days before that who was hoping that there would be some publicity about the fact that this is the 45th.
Yeah.
Not right now. I forget the actual outbreak of the war. Was it in June?
I'm not too certain. I think it was, but I'm not positive.
It was around now. It was either June or July.
Yeah.
And he was hoping that there'd be a lot of some news stories and all that commemorating a war that he felt was sort of a forgotten war.
Yeah. This fellow mentioned that they were going to have...
Starring such music experts as Ed Mullen, Tony Nesbitt, Norm Nathan, Jack Hart, and the adorable Mike Epstein. Coming up right after the David Brudnoy Show. That's on Radio 1030, right after midnight.
The whole thing, I think if you heard it today, probably would be hokey. But apparently it is available, because Craig says he has copies of that. I said to Vin, the Vin came and blew down the shutter outside of my house, and I want you to send a cop. The Vin, like that. I didn't say shut up, I said to Vin. I bet I'm the only broadcaster in the entire country that can do Cohen at the telephone all the way through.
Northwest of Ottawa, which is the capital of our country, and we have murals painted on the walls, very much like a little town, excuse me, in Terminus, B.C., and they're beautiful, and it's our star attraction here in this area. Excuse me, I have something in my throat.
I'll hold on. Let's clear our throat together Mike Epstein is here.
Yeah.
He's going to clear his throat. Will you mind?
On three.
Clear it together so that I think in unity, clearing our throats, that we don't stand out and be embarrassed so much.
It'll sound almost melodic.
Yeah, we'll clear our throats. So anybody listening at home, too, can clear the throat with us.
Do it with us now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, good. It's all over and done with.
No, wait, I haven't cleared my throat. We're just clearing it.
He was clearing his throat and warming up for clearing his throat.
And I'm paying for this.
Oh, that's right, too. That's right. You're paying for us to clear our throats. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, that's funny. That's okay. I have another question for
you. Yes, thank you for the invitation, by the way. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that.
I have kind of an open house. I have someone from France coming this summer, too, for 2 weeks. And right now, I have a young lad, a teenager actually from China, who's staying with us.
Now, is this an exchange program or how?
Well, I have been involved with the exchange problem, but this lad is not an exchange. He's a landed immigrant, and he's going to high school locally. My daughter teaches at the local high school, and that's how I got. How I heard of him, you know, that he needs a home.
I see. You sound like you're from Ireland. Are you originally?
Actually, I'm French.
Oh, your friend.
She's Française.
Oh.
Yes.
Let me see if I... Je suis Français?
Ah bon, très bien.
Ah.
Yeah.
Vraiment?
Oui, vraiment, je suis Française, Canadienne Française.
Quand elle me prend dans ses bras, elle me prend...
Now, you see, Norm, you've got to come and visit.
I know, it sounds great. But you don't have a French accent, but you have more of an Irish accent.
Isn't that, I guess it's an Ottawa Valley accent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Really and truly. But before I forget, I have one other thing I have to ask you.
Yes.
Last night you gave the name of the distributor of the keychain beepers, and I didn't catch it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The reason I'm asking is because, you know what we call the French Canadians frogs?
That's right. That's right. That's right. why is that? I often wondered, why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know. But even I had lived in France for 4 years, and they even call us frogs.
Yeah, that's, no, I know, I hear that. I'm sure that's not derogatory. It must be some nice reason for that.
I don't think so. I mean, at least I've never taken it that way. And if I have, well, you know, if other people do, well, that's their problem.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's a distributor in this area who does distribute those key rings, along with several others that have other animal sounds and sea sounds and stuff on them, but they don't sell directly to anybody.
And they're
starting to build up their distribution centers, and they're going to distribute them mostly by selling them at museums and the Franklin Park Zoo and maybe the Museum of Science. So once they get set with that kind of stuff, I can mention that. Maybe there'll be places up in Canada too. Mm-hmm. I would think.
I would really like to. I would have liked to have bought one, because it'd be something totally different for this area. And I collect frogs.
Do you?
Yeah, ceramic frogs, little plastic frogs.
You sound like such a nice person, and with such a nice invitation. Why don't you send me another note?
Yeah.
And mention the keychain. Come closer. I don't want everybody to hear, because a lot of people over a period of time were sending me letters saying, would you send me one? And I really don't have enough to send to everybody.
No, I understand
that. No, but you sound kind of nice, so send me a note, and I'll see what I can do about that, okay?
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Yes, I am.
And listen, I must tell you, I really enjoy your program. This week has been great. I giggled in my sleep last night, I'm sure.
Oh, thank you very much. That's right. Your husband must love that, especially if he's making love to you at the time.
Well, that's why I'm downstairs, and he's upstairs right now.
Oh, I see. No, but I mean when you were sleeping and leaving.
Oh, yes. Well, that's our secret. I won't tell.
I won't tell either. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling, but send me that note.
Hang on a sec. Before you let her go.
Oh, hold on just a minute.
What I was thinking is, instead of having her send another letter with an envelope and the postage and all that stuff, how about if we take her name and address and we mail a ring up to her?
We could do that. I'll tell you what we could do even beyond that. Since you already wrote to me, you said.
Yes, I did.
And I have the letter. When I see it.
Uh-huh.
Is that enough information, Jeanette? You said Pembroke?
Yes, I have
Ontario, and it's all on there.
Uh-huh.
And you're inviting, well, no, you'll be the only one inviting me to your house, so, obviously I'll be able to pick out the right letter. I'll send it to you anyway. Don't send anything and don't call, you know, leave your name or anything.
He's now a congressman.
Gopher.
Is that
Gopher.
Yeah, he's now from Iowa. He's a Republican from Iowa. Fred Grandy. He's congressperson now, you know? How old is he?
Oh, God.
Was he the function? What did he work behind the bar there?
He was a gopher.
He was
63?
A gopher. What's that?
63.
Oh, Mary.
I don't remember.
49.
You're cheating. You're looking at a piece of paper.
Well, no, I mean, I'm the one that gives.
We do no such thing.
Sid would never do that.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Bob Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. Bob Goldberg. Yeah, where is he? I haven't heard him.
Bob's
lately.
A little under the weather. We're checking it out now.
Too bad.
Yeah. He's going to be all right, though.
Good. Very good. Because I miss listening to him. He really keeps you guys on your toes.
He's quite a character,
to say the least.
Yeah. Sydney?
49.
Okay. Did I ask you?
No.
Okay. I'm asking you now, Eric.
46.
47.
Hey.
Oh, God, I'm off again.
Mary, big plans for the holiday?
Yes, I'm going to New York.
You are?
Yes.
You mean New York City?
No, going to Long Island.
Long Island.
We got to look Ben Mevrak up there. Remember Benny?
Yeah. I have a cousin whose son graduated, so they're having a big get-together this weekend.
How about that?
That's nice, huh?
It's nice because the families, you know, everybody is so spread apart.
Sure. Sure.
But we'll have a nice time.
Is your phone ringing?
Yes, it is.
Well, you'll have to hold on. Can you wait for
me? We already have the information.
That's okay.
We have to put Mary in for Richard. We already have the information.
Are you Rich's mother?
Yes, I am.
Oh, so we do have the information then.
I guess so.
I hope we call you tomorrow, Mary.
I hope so.
One out of three. You know what I'm talking?
Have a good day.
You too, pal.
All right.
Bye, Mary.
That's Mary. Now, isn't that a coincidence? Mary Guillemette, whose son, Richard, huh?
Already won the sports quiz this morning.
That's a family affair, isn't it, guys?
Wow. It's a small world.
WCCM, yes. The family station.
We'll get Mr. Rogers to watch commercial.
Sure.
Set at 10, you'll return.
See you then.
And have a busy day, Eric.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, what a day. You're out of here.
When you need quality printing, personalized the way you want it, the place to go is Excel Printing of Salem, New Hampshire. Excel offers a complete line of computer forms, carbonless forms, letterheads, plain or fancy business cards, and naturally copies that look better than the original. Whether it's a rush job or something that involves more time, Excel Printing will do the job right. As an added service, Excel will come to you and discuss your printing needs in the comfort of your own office. To set up an appointment, call 603-898-2022 and ask for Charlie. And remember, Excel is easy to get to. Conveniently located on Route 28, 339 Broadway in tax-free Salem, New Hampshire, with plenty of free parking. Quality printing, friendly professional service, and low prices. That's Excel, E-X-C-E-L. Excel Printing, Route 28, Salem, New Hampshire.
We excel for you.
Back in 36 in Boston.
Oh, there's nothing better than an old Caterpillar joke from 1936.
Well, there was a contest. The city of Boston had a contest on 10 caterpillars that were on the wild rum cherry trees. And the commissioner at that time, I think, was Long. So I think I was the only one that entered the contest, you know. I was on the Boy Scouts at the time. And so I collected a whole bunch of them from the, you know, rum cherry trees. And then I went into the park department, and the commissioner came out, and I had this little box full of these egg masses. And there's probably, each egg mass maybe had 50 or 75 little tiny pinpoint eggs.
Why me, God?
And so he says, how many do you have? How many caterpillars?
Why is this happening to me?
I says, well, I don't know. I didn't count
them. Please, good Lord, help me, people.
God. He says, well, he says, you'll have to go home and count them. So I went home.
Maybe if I kill myself, you know, I can leave this earth quietly.
Egg mass. Pinpoint.
Could I borrow your knife, Mike?
And then I noticed that they're starting to hatch out, you know? So
a 1936 caterpillar joke. Can you imagine this?
They put them back in the box and I mail them back to the commissioner. So when he opened them up, there's all these little caterpillars hatched out and moving around.
Yeah.
But I got some kind of a medal, I guess, from it anyway.
That happened in 1936, is that correct?
Right back, pardon?
That happened in 1936. Can you hear me? Hello, is this on? 1936.
Yeah.
Okay, do you realize how long ago 1936 is? That's almost 60 years ago, Mike.
Right.
I mean, not Mike. Your name is Tony.
Tony, yeah.
Is that the newest story? The last time anything really fun happened to you?
No.
Because I think
you... But I want to get serious on the caterpillars, the gypsy moth caterpillars, which are a scourge.
Yeah.
And I've been trying for the last 15 years trying to determine ways how to trap them, you know?
The gypsy moths, you mean?
The caterpillars. They feed at night, and then they come down from the top of the tree when it's daylight, and they try to hide down someplace in the leaves or whatever. The best way to trap them is to put a seed of shingle at the base of an oak tree.
Is this really a very serious problem? Because we had this problem.
Coming up, every 7 years they have it. Devastating. It's on the way up again.
But I don't. Scientists predicting that this is the year they're going to break out again?
Oh, no. It started last year. It was down about 3 years ago, was at a minimum. Now it's on the upswing, and the best way to trap them is to use a cedar shingle at the base of the oak tree Then check. You have to check them every morning.
By the old oak tree.
You'll get 25, 50, or 100 caterpillars just for you and me. So you can get squish them and get rid of them.
Yes. Okay, that sounds like a swell idea.
It works for me.
Yeah, it works for me, too. With milk or cream and some kind of fruit, Tony, it certainly is the breakfast of champions.
Hey, everybody. Disabled vehicle inbound on Sturo Drive just as you get to the inbound on the Mass Pike. There's a case that... Taking a look at traffic on Boston area roadways, we continue to deal with work crews northbound and southbound Route 128 in the Canton-Dedham area. Route 1 heading southbound, approaching the Tobin Bridge. Just shutting down even as we speak. Two-way traffic in the Callahan Tunnel is your alternate route. I'm Paul Drake, Boston's business station, WBNW.
It's True Value's Red, White, and True 4th of July paint sale. Weatherall Flat Latex, only $13.99. Easy Care Flat Latex, only $12.99. It's true. Help is just around the corner.
This is Radio 76. Anyway, the temperature right now is actually 63 degrees, which, you know, I mean, if I had to pick a temperature that I really liked a lot, like for about 5 after midnight, I'd probably pick 63. I think that's nice. Thank you very much. I'll be back with some more really penetrating thoughts later.
Norm Nathan, he's the talk of the town. Lift you up when you're down, Norm Nathan. On WPZ in Boston. Here's Norm.
Oh, hello. This is Norm, and I'm sitting in for Bob Raleigh, who'll be back next week. And we'll be talking with a man named Mike Blake, who's written a baseball book, Bad Hops and Lucky Bounces, all kinds of unusual idiosyncrasies about ball players, because they're about the most superstitious lot. The book is a whole lot of fun. And besides, the name Mike Blake just sounds like a guy who was born to do sports. Mike Blake. In another life, I may take that name. Thank you so much. Anyway, we'll talk with Mike in just a minute.
And they said, gee, what does he want to talk about? And he said, well, you know, he's written 4 baseball books. I'm talking about baseball in America and comedy and Americana. And they said, well, will he talk about Dances with Wolves? Well, that was written by Michael Blake.
So their answer
was, he saw the movie, so he'd be happy to talk about it. And they said, well, we'll call him. Still waiting for that phone call.
Even on the networks with these big mucky people there, they screw things up too, isn't that? I'm glad to know that I, a small person in a little part of the country, can, you know, kind of, I feel a camaraderie toward them.
Well, listen, Norm Nathan's a great alliterative name.
Yeah, it is kind of a nice name. I wish it were my real name, but it's not. You know, my real name is Henry Fonda, but there already was one. No, actually, it is my real name. And Mike Blake is your real name, too.
Yes, it is.
No, the book is fun. Baseball's Bad Hops and Lucky Bounces. It was the publisher's Better Way Books. I love the title of that. I had not heard of them. They're out of Cincinnati. Are you out from that part? Did you publish this?
Well, no, the publisher, I'm under contract. I live on the West Coast. I used to live on the East Coast and live on the West Coast now, so... trying to split the difference, found a publisher in Cincinnati.
I see, right in the middle. We get out to to a lot of states because we're clear channel at night. I know this is going to thrill you, but we do get out to Ohio, to a lot of parts of Ohio.
And fishermen in Finland, I understand, get the broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. And as a matter of fact, some uninhabited planets pick us up as well, plus southern Canada and all the way down a lot of the East Coast down to the south, down about North Carolina, little bits of Florida. Why am I trying to sell the station to you? We already got you. You're already here.
Listen, I'm here at midnight for you guys.
Okay. So where you are, it's only about 12 minutes after 9.
That's correct. Last time you and I talked was during daylight hours. I think it was on a Saturday morning.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah. A couple years ago, another book.
Yeah, we were just
same guys, but another book.
Yeah, we were. Now, what was the book that he had out at that time? Do you recall?
Well, it was either Baseball Chronicles or it might have been the Incomplete Book of Baseball Superstitions, Rituals, and Oddities. And I also wrote one called The Minor Leagues, and it might have been one of those.
Are those books still pretty much available, all your books?
Baseball Chronicles is. That was a neat one. I interviewed 140 ball players and got their favorite stories. And since we started with a guy named Red Hoff, who's 104 years old, and gave me a story from 1911. We go all the way from 1911 through the 1990s, and you get a lot of America and baseball in that one.
Yeah, because I'm a big baseball fan. Of course, following the Red Sox, also a frustrated baseball fan, although they're doing so well so far.
It was start.
Yeah, it was particularly a great deal of fun to read your book. And superstitions always have, I know you do, you in this one you deal with a lot more on superstitions as you did with the other book, which was primarily on that, but superstitions always, I guess anybody, even singers, I think, musicians sometimes have superstitions. If they have a great performance one night because of some unusual thing that happened, they kind of hope that it will happen again each time they go out. You were talking, for example, on the book about some players have lucky bats.
Oh, absolutely. I think two kissed his bats. Kevin Elster used to take his bat to lunch with him. Ty Cobb once took his bat to a wedding with him. Of course, nobody else would go with him.
Weren't there some ball players also who never changed their underwear? Say they had a great day, home runs and everything, and they attributed that to either their underwear, maybe their whole set of clothing, and never changed, you know, until they struck out or some bad thing happened later on and ending the streak.
Absolutely. You want to stay away from guys like that. Ross Grimsley, who I don't think took a shower during his entire career.
My favorite underwear story was
Babe Ruth. Babe would, you know, have this soiled underwear, and the game would be over. He'd take a shower, put on new clothes, but put on the same underwear he wore during the ball game. So players would say, Babe, for crying out loud, you know, you're going out tonight. You know, geez, put on some different underwear. He said, to heck with that, and he stopped wearing underwear altogether.
But he changed his pants, I would hope, or something.
Yes, we hope so.
Of course, he's wearing his uniforms.
Mo used to wear all black, used to keep a tuxedo in his locker. And when people would say, well, why is it there? He'd look at him and he'd say, just in case. and the story we have in the book, he spoke 12 languages. The joke was he spoke 12 languages, couldn't hit in any of them. But one night after a game in Baltimore, he brought the whole team out to Edgar Allan Poe's gravesite in Baltimore. And at midnight, he was on his grave and recited The Raven in its entirety to his teammates.
He would have been a fascinating guy, and that new book about him also sounds fascinating as is your book, because he played for the Red Sox, of course, for quite some time, and was I guess a good friend of Ted Williams and some of the other people that you talk about in the book.
He was one of these guys that everybody liked. He certainly had his odd habits, but he was a patriot. He was one of the guys, didn't drink a lot. But didn't lord over his intelligence, even though he was a certified genius.
Yeah, Princeton graduate and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one, I remember one player, if you're talking about superstitions, who used to, and I used to see him, he played the outfield, I think for the Red Sox. This was a while back. But he would not head for the dugout. Now, the Red Sox dugout, of course, is next to first base. And he played right field, and I can't remember who this is, but he would insist upon, when he came in after the inning, like touching third base and then heading for the dugout. I would guess this is probably not unusual conduct. A lot of people had quirks
You remember Wade Boggs's footpath from third base, where he would take his own circuitous route so that he wouldn't touch certain areas of the infield. And by August or September, you could see the footprints that had turned yellow, and those were Boggsy's footprints.
That's interesting. You have a story here, too, about a pitcher, Bill Swift, of Seattle. Went through six seasons in Seattle with a 30-40 record, which is not, which is still kind of a losing record. But anyway, on days he would pitch. This appealed to me because you talk about music in this one. He said on days that Bill Swift would pitch, he insisted the clubhouse CD machine play only music from Frank Sinatra and only those Chairman of the Board songs written by Sammy Kahn or Jimmy Van Heusen. See, now, I think that is really a hit pitcher.
Oh, I love that. And the thing was, he was on a losing streak, and somebody probably turned on Sinatra, and he was singing one of a Sammy Kahn song, and he won. And somebody with way too much time on his hands figured out that he went 10 and 4 while he listened to that music.
That's right. And that's recently, too. Somehow you think of a pitcher.
Greeny's a really neat guy. He can certainly use some hair plugs. But one of the reasons that he made the books is it turns out that when you fight Mike Greenwell, all of a sudden the team starts to go nuts. And he's gotten into several fights. He and Louis Rivera brawled in the outfield over who called for a fly ball. And moments, they were both slumping at the time. And as soon as the fight ended, Greenwell's average rose a couple of points. Rivera's climbed about 15 points. But the Red Sox died. The Red Sox dropped 22 out of 35. And we've chronicled about three or four times whenever the team is going well, Greenwell gets into the fight, and all of a sudden the team goes into a slump. So you got to keep Greeny away from the rest of the guys this season. When he was a kid, he used to run to the store. Whenever he had some extra change, he would run to the store and get pie. When he would have to pick up the groceries, his mother would always make sure that there was a little left over since he was running to the store, getting the groceries and bringing it back so he could get his pie. He loved that stuff. The only other superstition I heard about him was something that a lot of players in those days did. They felt that finding ladies' hat pins were good luck, and ladies' hair pins were good luck. I guess that comes from, hey, if there's a lady's hairpin around, a lady can't be too far removed.
Super guys. I have three children. My daughter was the oldest, and she's the Catcher Brothers. And then I have 10 I thank God for my blessings. I had the most wonderful husband, but he's going to be gone 7 years Sunday.
That was one of the stories that Phil gave me for my book, Baseball Chronicles. And it had to do with his getting his 300th win.
Yeah.
And George Steinbrenner arranging for a telephone hookup into the hospital so that your husband could listen to the game.
I was there, uh-huh.
And he comes out of his, I guess he wasn't in a complete coma, but he came out and became attentive and actually listened to the game and listened to the 300th win.
I have two baseballs at home that they both won 21 games on the same day in the same year. Did you know that?
No, I was unaware of that. That's great.
I got him home. I got him sitting on a little...
Now, what year was that?
I think it was in 86 or 87.
And both your sons won 21 games both
the
same year?
Same day, in the same month, same year.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Isn't... I have a lot of... my husband's gone, and I tell you, he was such a super guy that I have too many good memories,
What about all these grandchildren you're talking about,
Mrs. Nichols? I got 10 grandchildren.
Do you expect that they have that baseball kind of talent your sons had?
I think the one has it is Joe's boy. Joe's my great-grandson. My grandson, Joe's son, is very, very good.
Oh, Joe Negros's son.
Oh, yes. His name is Lance. Okay. I don't care, but I'm not telling you.
Hey, Ivy, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Please
Bye-bye.
Call me again.
Enjoy talking to you.
Enjoy
Thank
talking
you,
to
you.
Ivy. Can you imagine that? The Negro brother's mother... I'm bragging about WBZ, Mike, but we have a reach that goes halfway around the world.
Absolutely.
And she's calling from Ohio near the West Virginia line, and she's the parents and all these other people who... I'm just like a little kid. All these other people who have relatives who are in Major League Baseball, as a little kid who grew up around here. And to me, Major League Baseball, they're my idols. The fact that you could make... Even if you made Major League for like one day... I think that is absolutely sensational. Anyway, let's take one more call.
With the fellow that pitches for the Red Sox, Tim Wakefield.
Absolutely.
He helped him down with his knuckleball. They gained his confidence back.
Yeah, in spring training, he had lost his knuckleball, was down in the minors, and he worked out with the Silver Bullets. And
they did it for nothing. They weren't under contract to the Red Sox.
That's right.
They did it just to be nice gentlemen.
Well, that because the knuckleball is kind of a dying art, and they want their legacy to live on.
Absolutely.
And, Wakefield was telling me that he had absolutely no confidence, and he left two sessions with them, and all of a sudden he's throwing it like a 20-game winner.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, I have a question for you, but I want to sort of scold Norm for just a second.
Certainly.
Norm.
That's right. I deserve to be scolding
you. I love you. I love you a lot. I mean, we're both jazz fans, and I've talked to you several times about
Rush. You can even scold me just right off the top of your head.
I do have to scold you about the one thing you said about the Red Sox. This current Red Sox team is probably the most diverse in history. I think they have maybe more minority either Spanish or African American players than actually white players on this team now.
Okay, well, I'll forgive me for that.
I'll be honest with you, they have deserved the rap they've gotten in the past, but I think now, I think they want to win more than actually what color is on the team.
Okay, that's good.
I think they all are Red Sox.
Okay.
Mike, let me ask you.
You're not going to ask me how many stitches are on a baseball, are you?
No, I'm not. Everybody knows it's 32. Or is that teeth in a
That's
human
teeth.
Mouth? I'm not sure which.
I was thinking 144, but that might be dimples on a golf ball, you know?
All depends on your size of your golf ball, I guess.
That's true.
Three
holes in a bowling ball. That's about the only question, the only answer I can give you.
Yep, I can agree with that one. This thing about the All-Star game, is there going to be something done about this ridiculous travesty or what?
Are you saying that because the fans vote and it's a popularity contest rather than an All-Star game?
Yes, but that's exactly what I think it's more a popularity contest than an actual who's having the best season, who deserves to be representing that position that year.
You and I agree. However, until they make me commissioner, and I don't think that's going to happen, that has been discussed, and the whole point is it's who the fans want to see. They call it the fans' game. They're trying to sell it to the fans so that it can be televised and they all tune in.
Right,
and for that reason, I don't think it's going to change in the foreseeable future.
As a fan, I will not watch the game because I think it's bogus.
Absolutely. It is a popularity contest.
You know, if the world was fair as it should be, and it's not, but if it was, maybe I'm stepping out, maybe I'm a little prejudiced to the Red Sox, but the infield, other than second base, should be the Red Sox players. And I think probably Carlos Baeaga should be at second.
You're not going to get Cal Ripken off of short.
Well, yeah, but see,
and you're really not going to get Bogsy off
his
third.
Career, Mike. Are we judging him for this season or his career?
Well, it's not my
John
judgment.
Allison deserves it.
It's not my judgment. It is the fans. In the old days, the press, and I don't know why they went to us, but the press used to have half the vote during normal business hours.
Okay, 1-800-289-0963. We're going to have to pick this up another time because a lot of people just enjoyed talking with you a lot, and I certainly did. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate you taking the time to be on with us.
Norm, day or night, anytime.
Okay. He hit the ball. That was the amount. There was a certain, prescribed amount that would go into the Jimmy Fund, donated by one of the beer companies. I forget which one it was. And there I was at the bat. Dave Maynard here actually hit great. I hit pretty badly. But the pitcher pitching to us was Lee Stang. So I've never forgotten him, and I've always felt a great warmth toward him. And he wasn't throwing stuff or anything. He was just lobbing them over so that we could hit them as best we could. And I still couldn't hit the ball too well. But to stand at home plate at Fenway Park while Lee Stang, in uniform, with the crowds there at Fenway Park. Would you like to talk with Jack Macnaughton? Very sexy guy.
Sure.
Okay. How old are you, Christine?
24.
Oh, Chris. Now, Jack, you're what, in your early 30s?
I'm in my early 30s, yeah.
Okay. This is, anyway, I want you to meet Christine. Christine, this is Jack Hart. And you know the theme. You know how it goes?
Yeah, I know that. I know like the basic whatchamacallit, the refrain, the sort of bridge there, you know.
Anything will help.
There's a new girl in town and she's feeling good. And this and on and on.
No, keep going on and on.
I'm trying to think of that's about the most tonight. The words, I know the melody, but the words, I'm not exactly sure the words on that one.
Right.
There's a new, how does that line go?
There's a new girl in town, and she's feeling good.
Her name is Alice, and I'd like to kiss her, and I probably should, but... you can skip the second part of that, Christine.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar to you, Christine?
Yes, it does.
That's the essential kind of thing.
Is there a whole group of your people at your home right now, Christine?
Well, there were, and then it kind of mellowed out, and now there was three of us still stuck on the same question.
Okay. Any other theme show songs that you need to know the words?
Actually, we're all set.
Oh.
Is there anybody there can pick it up now that they know the opening line?
Probably, yes.
Why don't you put them on the line? Maybe they can pick it up.
They ran out to the car and listened to you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They couldn't get the station in on the stereo.
So what do you do? Like, you just, like, everybody's taking turns? You run out to the car, listen for a minute, come back in and tell the other people, and then somebody else runs out and sits
in the car? Well, I can get it in on the radio in the bedroom, except they told me to turn off the radio, so I did.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because of the 10-second delay, it would confuse things. Are you at home now, or are you at work?
She's
in the car.
Are you in the car?
No, I'm on the telephone.
No, I know you're on the obviously you're on the telephone.
I'm in the house.
Well, oh, now, these other two people, they were in your house, and they went out to the car to listen?
Yes.
You only have the one radio in the house.
Well, we have two, but one doesn't come in on your station.
Doesn't come in on WBZ?
No.
Wow.
Hey.
Well, you know, they might have got a little bit cheaper. We'll take out the WBZ section and then you go
on the tribal market. The radio down.
It was a discounted stereo, okay?
Doesn't have BZ, it won't cost you as much money, but if it does have BZ, it costs you more money. In that case, we'll have to take out WEI, and then in that case, we'll put it back in. However, if you'd like WBCN, hold on, I'm getting a message. Line one. Okay, hold on. We got somebody else who seems to want to fill in with it. Hey, this is Angela.
From Salem.
And from Salem, yeah, Angela. Do you know, are you part of all this stuff?
I love Flo and Mel. I wish that they hadn't gone off. I want to get the collector's video. Yeah,
what's
I
Mel's
know
last
song.
Name? What's Mel's last name?
Mel's last name, trivia question. I don't know the last name.
But you can sing the whole thing, Angela?
Sure, I can sing the whole thing.
Would you do that for us?
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
Early to rise, early to bed. Sunny between, I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head. Going through life with blinders on, it's tough to see. I had to get up from under and look for me.
There's
a new girl in town with a brand new style. She was with a fresh, freckled face in the neighborhood with a new girl in town with a brand new smile. She was just passing through, but if things work out, she's gonna stay a while.
Hey, you're not an
Yay, that's good.
You sing very, Angela, you sing beautifully.
Oh, I love to sing.
Do you sing professionally?
I wish I could. I don't get too many opportunities to do that.
I would think you wouldn't. Do you sing even amateurishly with
sing,
a group?
I used to sing in a church choir, and I sang in chorus, chamber singer, and then I sang with karaoke, but it's not the same as singing live, you know. And,
so you ought to get in with some group, because you sound really first rate. You're okay.
Thank you. You have an ear for music, so I know you can tell.
No, I mean usually when somebody sings a song, you know, they kind of hum it a little bit out of tune and all that, but you were really putting your whole gut into it. You two, Jack, you two.
Well, Jack was doing it.
Jack was doing it, too. He was singing
Well, I was illustrating
said,
people that come on and just, you know.
In the neighborhood, walking through, fresh freckled face in the neighborhood, or fresh smiling face. So, you know, I mean, I was thinking of the words, and I sang it before I got on the phone. And I said, yeah, I know that song.
You were nice to call and to sing it to us. I really appreciate that, Angela. Good luck to you. I hope you get deeper in the music, because you sound really nice.
Oh, I love to sing. I've been singing for a long time, but there's a lot of times I don't get too many opportunities, but, pass me along.
Okay, that's...
I'll be glad to sing for you again if any time you want a theme song.
Okay, that's great, Angela. I really appreciate that. Yeah, Christine, you had all your dreams answered.
We got it answered. Now.
Okay, hey, thank you, Christine and Angela.
Yeah, have a good holiday.
Thank you,
Christine,
very much.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a three-way conversation. That's really cool.
That is cool.
Four-way conversation.
Because this is a cool station.
It is cool.
Hey, Christine, thank you, and
thank you,
Angela.
All right, I might play the dumb birthday game.
Okay. Have you talked with
Yeah, no, not yet, but I'll think about it.
Okay, let me turn you back to Mike then. Let him talk to you.
No, I mean, I might do it, if not tonight, tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Angela. And thank you very, very much, Jack.
Well, thank you.
Hey, that was that was really fun. Cheekers. Speaking of the Korean War, and some people called about that saying they were in the Korean War and they thought it was one of the forgotten wars and it ought to get more publicity and that kind of stuff. And I suspect it will. I suspect just by virtue of the fact that it is the 45th anniversary of that war that it will get a lot more talk and so on. Anyway, that's the whole thing. If you're a member of that Sampson Air Force Base Veterans Association, just send me a note if you want.
And what do you carry and where do you go?
I carry mail. I go up and down the pike every day.
Oh, do you work for the U.S. Postal Service?
Contractors to the Postal Service.
Oh, I see. With and you get a whole big van full, a big, huge truck full of mail.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very important job.
Well, I heard other truck drivers call you, and I got jealous because I didn't hear any females out there.
So. No, I don't think we've had any. It's very, very few.
I thought you might like to know that there's females listening.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm who are truck drivers. No, I'm pleased
truck
to know that.
Yeah.
Where do you drive from and to generally?
Boston to Springfield and back.
How often? Every day?
Well, I was going 6 days a week, but now I'm 4 days a week, and the other 3 days I'm going to school.
What are you studying?
Cosmetology.
Oh really?
Uh huh. Hairdressing, nails.
So you got a full schedule with
yeah.
the truck driving and the school, the whole business.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of interesting? One is such a feminine occupation, and the other you would not think of as particularly feminine.
I know. I think it's so funny.
you're an all-around kind of woman.
Yeah.
Are you a married woman?
Yes, I am.
Is your husband very proud of you? He must show you off all the time.
He's wonderful. Yes, I just stopped to get some things at the store.
Yeah.
Because I have to cook for him when I go inside.
Oh, does he cook for you ever?
He cooks for me. He does the laundry. And
yeah.
He watches the kids. And he does the dishes, which is number one.
That's really nice. Now, what business is he in?
Construction.
Oh, so he's in a manly kind of stuff. Although I know there are women who do construction work also.
Well, he does it mother's hours.
Okay. So between the two of you, do you work different hours? Now, how many kids do you have?
Two. So far.
Are they very young kids?
12 and 9.
Okay, so there's a 12-year-old. Can she babysit the 9-year-old? Or do
both boys.
Okay, do they take care of each other?
Oh, they, no, he does that.
Oh, so he's home when you're not home.
Yeah.
You sound like you have a lovely relationship.
Oh, he's so nice.
I love the way you say that. He's so nice to me. I bet he would talk the same way. He must talk the same way about you.
Oh, I adore him. I really do.
Oh, isn't that is so good to hear.
I know, isn't it?
I think I may break. I may cry.
I do often.
I
appreciate how lucky I am.
Oh, then you are lucky. You are lucky to have somebody who's there for you all the time. I think is one of the greatest gifts you can ever have. I'm almost going to burst out into people who need people.
I can't believe I'm really talking to you.
You are, and I think you sound wonderful. What's your husband's first name?
Well, his name's John, but we call him Sean.
Oh, why is you kind of giving me the Irish twist on that?
Well, he was supposed to be named Sean, but the priest couldn't. Pronounce it.
He could make an SH only a J.
Yeah, he did. Well, he was saying steam, you know, and things like that.
I see. He was an American born who never saw the name Sean before, apparently.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be named Sean, so his mother insisted he's called Sean, and I like Sean. Yeah.
Now, are you just getting home from the truck driving?
I am. Thing? I tried to call you all the way home, and I got no service on my phone.
Oh, I'm
all the way home.
I'm glad you finally got through. So are these the regular hours that you work, like what, from mid-afternoon or late afternoon till now?
About 1 o'clock. I started at 12:30 this afternoon, and I usually get home anywhere between 2 and 4.
And you must be exhausted.
I am.
And your husband is waiting for you inside. Does he wait for you? He must go to sleep because he has to get up early,
yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, he's sleeping, but he said he didn't have a chance to grab supper. He got something for the kids, and he said he ate the leftovers. And
so there's no food for you there? Oh, Kathy.
Oh, usually he cooks for me or gets me a salad or something, but tonight I'm going to make something and I'll wake him up.
Okay. You sound great. I'm so pleased to talk with you, and thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck on the cosmetology thing.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that nice when she talked about liking her husband? She really sounded like she really did. I think that is fantastic. Come closer. I want everybody to hear, especially young ladies. who might think I'm still desirable. I'm sorry. I can't help but laugh at that line. But this is before Ted Williams even joined the team. They had the outfield was Doc Kramer in center field. Ben Chapman, I think, was left field or right field. And then the other field, the outfield, was Joe Vosmick. Isn't that funny? I remember the whole lineup. Gene Desitels and Johnny Peacock were the catchers. And it was during the time when Lefty Grove was pitching for the Red Sox and all those magical names. Son of a gun.
Don, we continue to deal with work crews on Boston area roadways, Route 128 northbound and southbound in the Canton-Dedham area. That'll go on till about 5 o'clock in the morning. We're traveling Route 128 southbound in Waltham. More work crews. We've got work crews on Route 1 heading southbound just as you get onto the Tobin Bridge. We've got work crews inside the Sumner Tunnel, and that structure shut down till 5:30 two-way traffic in the Callahan Tunnel, your alternate route. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. It's True Values, Red, White, and True 4th of July. Sale. Save 10 to 25% on top quality hardware, paint, lawn and garden items, and more all through the store. It's true. Help is just around the corner.
Oh, okay. Okay, did you detect the bitterness in my voice?
Well, it's done to me often because it's so easy. I'm just an easy target.
Okay.
Can I make a very small suggestion?
You can make a very large suggestion, too, like get off the air, Nathan. You really suck, and you're stinking up the airways. You go ahead.
Well, it shows my poor taste. But no, I think it would be appreciated. I would appreciate it if, when you give the number out, when to call, if you might do it a little more often, like at least every 15 minutes. The reason for that is the thought that I might dial a wrong number at this time of the morning is something that is completely unattractive.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, it's kind of funny because sometimes I think we give the number so often that it gets to be boring, but it's interesting you would say that we don't give it enough. Sure, I can do that.
Well, sometimes I sit here and I said, well, I think it's 254-1030, but I'm not absolutely sure because I don't have it written down. Yeah. And I don't want to take that chance at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Well, I don't blame you. Okay, we will. I'll give it more often then, sure.
And
as a matter of fact, we'll put it across the bottom of your screen. And that was a bit of really stupid humor. Just
I don't think that you have to do it on the threes, but
I get the reference there, and that's very clever. And yeah, management would love that.
I just exude cleverness. Haven't you ever noticed that whenever I've called?
No.
You have. Nobody else has either. They haven't found my inner personality. Anyway, it's getting late. You're off at 5, right?
That's correct.
Let's give some other people a chance. It's good to talk to you, as always.
Always good to talk to you, Laurie. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's my friend, Laurie.
A great American.
Great American. And this is Marie, who's also a great American. Marie is up in Rockport, which is one of the great communities of the state and of the world. Pretty, pretty. It really is. It's a pretty town. I love Rockport.
It certainly is.
Marie, hi. Good morning.
Hi, Noam. I just woke up, and I listen to you all the time, but I fell asleep, of course. But what I wanted to say is I enjoyed when you came down to Rockport not too long ago to the Methodist Church.
Oh, the people over there have been great. We'll be back there again this fall.
Good.
With another thing. I've been there 3 times already. The folks up at Rockport are just sweethearts.
Yeah. Yeah, we really enjoyed that. And another thing, it's funny, but there was a little... I have to take you to task about something.
Okay.
A couple of mornings ago, some fellow by the name of Joe called you, and he'd had like a slight shock, and he was trying to tell you a story about tent caterpillars, but you misunderstood, honeybee, because he was trying to tell you about when he was a little boy and being a Boy Scout, and it was a contest up in Boston.
Yes.
And I felt kind of bad because... you thought that he was trying to tell you a joke, and all the time this was very serious to him. And I think that just in case he heard you making fun, I wanted him to know that I understood and I was very interested, because when I was a kid on the farm back when, we used to have to quite a fight, you know, to get rid of those darn tent caterpillars. And
the thing
was very serious.
No, I know he was, but I tell you the truth, at this time of the morning, telling a long story about caterpillars and his experiences with them back in 1936 is what he's talking about. Yeah. I didn't understand the business of it, but a stroke or anything.
I
never certainly would poke fun at anybody who was having trouble talking. I wasn't poking fun at the way he was talking, just at a story about caterpillars from the year 1936. I just was really, I didn't think most people would be in the mood for listening to something that happened 60 years ago involving caterpillars, and I thought, you know, it really, come closer, okay? Would you do that, Marie? I don't want everybody to hear this. But I just thought he was terribly boring, and I thought, if I just sat back here and he just kept going on, he'd be still talking today, and he'd bore the hell out of just about everybody.
You know what?
Yeah?
He had my interest. Because when I was a kid, my uncle used to go around with long poles and rags on the end with kerosene and light it a fire and go around and get rid of those darn caterpillars.
Okay, anybody from now on, then we're open season. Anybody has a caterpillar story, but it has to be from the 30s. So we'll just open the microphone and let them just pour it up.
Honey, I just felt sorry for Joe.
Yeah, but he didn't hear a word. I don't think he heard a word I said.
Oh, good. Because I feel better.
No, because he just kept going. He didn't hear anything I said.
Good.
I
was thinking about him. I was just so sorry for him, you know.
Yeah, no. If he understood, if he could hear me, he would have made some comment and he would have stopped.
Oh, good.
And that's why I kept saying, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" And he never heard a word. He just continued right on. I did that because I thought, this is such a boring story to most people. It really, really was.
Yeah.
That maybe if I could just lighten it up a little bit with that kind of business without him feeling offended because he didn't hear me.
Good, I'm glad.
You know,
he didn't.
That was the whole thing, too, see?
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't because I knew that, you know, I don't like...
Well, you're a nicer... You know something, Marie? You're a nicer person than I am.
Oh, go on.
Oh, yes, you are. Let me check. Hold on a check. I'm checking with the kids in the teen canteen. All those of you who think that Marie is a nicer person than I am, would you raise your hand? Wow, look at that forest of hands.
Yeah, probably
all those of you who think that I am a nicer person than Marie, would you raise your hand? Come on, somebody. No, you win. You win hands down or hands up or something.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you when you come back to Rockport anyway.
Oh, thanks a lot, Marie. I appreciate what you said. I thank you very, very much.
Well, I feel better that I at least got that off my chest.
Okay, I'm glad.
I enjoy listening to you, though. You keep me company lots of nights alone here.
I'm glad I do. I hope we make you giggle just a little bit during the night, which is kind of the whole point of all this.
Thank you, and I love your dumb birthday.
Hey, listen, one night call and be part of it, and we'll call you back so you won't even have to pay the telephone bill from Rockport.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, please do.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. Take care, Marie. That's kind of interesting. You didn't grow up Mike, with expressions like okie dokie?
Well, we heard it from time to time, but it wasn't something that everyone said often.
It's kind of funny the way expressions change through the years. I was thinking of expressions like jeekers and gee willikers was very big when I was a kid. Did you ever hear that one, gee willikers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know all that stuff. Okay, so that's...
I don't know all of it. I've just heard some of it. I was going to mention Marie was from Rockport, you said?
Rockport, yes.
Beautiful town, but the one thing that I'll always hold against the town, I was up there a couple summers ago. I left my car unattended on a street for 5 minutes, and there was like 5 minutes left in either the parking meter or I was there for the time that I thought was allotted, and I got a ticket.
Oh, boo.
And I went up to the guy writing the ticket. I said to him, "Sir, I'm just getting in the car now to go home. Can we just call it even and have a good day and all that happy stuff?" He said to me, "No. No, you are parked illegally, and you must be punished." Or something to that effect.
You must be punished. I had a feeling he never said you must be punished.
Well, he might not. He might have just called me an obscene name and gone on with his life.
With his business, I know it. These are got to be the most unpopular people in the entire world who go up and down writing tickets. You ever notice the meter maids and the meter men in Boston, for example, when they're going up and down tagging cars, they kind of look around like, the world hates me. I know they hate me. if I can only get through today, I'll go home and I'll drink heavily, and maybe I won't be so conscious of the of this kind of feeling against me. But they always look like they're not really enjoying their job, or maybe they are. I don't know. Who would want to do that?
Either somebody looking for a couple of extra bucks to get by, or somebody on a real power trip. Someone who really enjoys the power of it all.
I suppose there are some people who would like that. Yeah, and they can yell back at you if you catch them while they're scribbling out the tickets. Yeah, we ought to interview some meter maids and meter men wanting and talk about that kind of stuff.
Why not?
Do you think they would talk in an even tempered kind of way, or would they just scream at us? I know that because we're trying to keep the roads clear.
Well, if they don't get too sanctimonious like that, then maybe it would be worthwhile. I think it would be worthwhile anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And while you're thinking about that, we'll pause for maybe 7 or 8 or maybe a dozen.
What was it, 53? 53?
I think it was, no, I don't. I think it was maybe in between what you both are saying. Hold on a minute.
I missed it.
No, because I can look it up for you and I can tell you. Hold on, see. What I do is after this is over, I throw everything in the wastebasket.
Oh.
I just fished it out of the wastebasket, and the year was 1952.
Oh, and you know what? I went to Rockport and had the same thing happen to me. We went and put our coin in the meter.
Yeah.
We couldn't get it in. The meter wouldn't take it. It was stuck in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went and told police station and told them, and they went right up and put a ticket on our car.
They put a ticket on anyway?
Yes.
Oh, that seems unfair. It's a lovely little town, but maybe they just look toward tourists to supply their funds, you know, to a point where it becomes unfair.
Well, I thought that was kind of stinking mean because, you know, we weren't even there any length of time at all.
And the machine, the
thing... It wouldn't accept the coin.
It wouldn't accept the coin. Well, that ought to be a reason.
It was stuck in there. It didn't go
down. What did you do? You probably paid the toll.
We had to pay
a
fine, yes.
But if you took them to court, you know, in other words, just showed up and said, hey, here's what happened, and I don't see any reason to pay, or something. You don't have to be arrogant about that. But in other words, if you took it all away and explained that in court what had happened, you probably might have been off. But I think the thing is, you don't want to go back again, and so you pay it reluctantly. And maybe that's not the way to do it.
Maybe that's a racket they're pulling up there.
Well, it may very well be. They may be looking to the tourists through the summertime especially and saying, you know, this is a way we can make a few extra bucks.
We used to go there all the time. I haven't been there since.
No kidding. It turns you against them, and it turned Mike Epstein from our station here against them. And, you know, they don't gain in the long run. Well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Not so much against them. If I'm going to go someplace where I have to watch my car every second of my visit, just in case I don't break some inane parking rule or whatever. I just can't be bothered with that.
I know.
Rockport's it's a beautiful town, isn't it?
Yes.
But
that's the way I felt about it. We used to go all the time, but I was really disappointed when they pulled that on, because I thought that was kind of mean.
Especially you've got a broken meter there. How can they expect you're going to be able to put some money in it? That doesn't make any sense, and they ought to be reasonable about that and back away.
Anyway, but you should. Often, and we don't go there and spend money anymore.
Okay, you should have fought it, but I know that becomes a pain.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you got two people here in the studio totally sympathetic towards you, Mary.
We're with you, Mary.
Yeah, we're with you, Mary. Next time you want to go up, we'll go with you.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, how about Dottie and Chelsea? Hey, Dottie and Chelsea.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good, and the fact that you asked about my health is so nice, you know, when you're busy and you have so many other things to do.
That's right.
How is your health?
Not too good at the moment.
Oh.
But nothing serious.
Okay.
It should pass.
Good.
I was just calling again to a couple of people before had called about sending Dusty the paper keychain.
Yeah.
And
she's apparently won the hearts of a lot of people.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And the fact that it was her birthday and things. And I think it was really a pretty small of Fred not to, since he had wanted not to sort of donate it and say send it to her.
Well, of course, we never suggested it to him. The only thing about Fred is we just have this great suspicion. I mean, maybe we're accusing him of something that we ought not to, but we had this great suspicion that
Right.
That he was not telling the complete truth or even partial truth. You know, nobody says you can't look up names of people born and, you know, and get on the game and then right. know them and all right. that. But then to kind of deny that, and maybe he wasn't denying, maybe they were just wild guesses, but I didn't believe that that was the case.
Right. But he's been on the birthday game before.
Yes, he has, and he's almost always done very well.
Right.
Which makes you kind of suspicious.
Right, and I don't think he should be on anymore.
Well, you may have won a point there.
You know, for both reasons.
Yeah.
And especially for, you know, being
being a liar. Say
yeah.
it. Say
and,
it.
And,
say it.
And especially for not donating the keychain and saying send it to Dusty Foods, you know, the young person who's
well, you know,
birthday.
Yeah, I should have gotten her phone
well,
number
the other
address
thing
and
is,
sent it to her anyway.
The other thing is... when the other woman spoke and they said, you know, he didn't have her address and that, but unless it's already thrown away, you should have her phone number since you had to call her back.
Hey, you know,
very good point.
It's an excellent point, yes.
If you still have the phone number, you can always call her and get her address.
I think we'll do that. You know something?
Directly, rather than trying to find out who she is and where she is and selling newspapers and... those kinds of
I'll
things.
Give her a buzz after 5 o'clock because I think I know where her number is.
Okay, yeah, okay, we're gonna do that. You know something? You have breathed a note of reason. You have brought fresh air into these cluttered old, cobwebbed halls of ours.
Okay. Well, I think that would be a very nice thing to
okay.
do.
Okay. Okay. Mike says he's gonna do that.
Okay.
So we'll call her back and get and I'll send her that stuff. I will.
Yeah.
And maybe with a nice little card that says. Happy mall hopping. Maybe
right.
they have some specialized cards now. They even have one like that.
Right. They probably do.
And I think like the gentleman that called earlier too said that, you know, she would really like to have it because of her, you know, playing the birthday game
yeah, kind of a little
and a sentimental thing from you. You know, having that from you, I think would be important to her. You know.
You know something? You're all heart, Dottie. Where do you live in Chelsea, by the way? Just roughly. You know, you don't give me the exact address.
Yeah, sort of near the Carey Square area.
Okay, because I
know you were from Chelsea. And so
well, I actually grew up in Everett, but we moved to
right.
Chelsea when I was in high school. We lived on Garfield Avenue out that way.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
right.
in the Prattville area,
right.
which is not far from Carey Square.
Right.
And I worked in a store. It's kind of funny going back there now, because that whole area was... Prattville area was like a little village almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no what is that called? The expressway.
Right.
It was just a two-lane highway going to Revere.
Yeah, the
and, yeah, and there were no the houses back there before the war. This was there were no none of those houses that were on the marshland in the back. You know, looking toward Broadway. It was kind of like almost being in the country, if you can figure living in Chelsea and being in the country.
Right.
But it was
right.
always kind of nice anyway. And you live right near that, but Carey Square area is
yes.
nice.
Yes.
Right near the high school.
Not far from the high school, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you a native of that area?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's right. I live right off of Washington Avenue.
Oh, that name.
The main.
Yeah,
the,
I know it. I know it very well. We'd walk down there to go to the high school.
That's right.
Yeah, and my sister went to... What the Carey School? Isn't that Carey, is that called a Carey School? Another school in that area, or am I getting that mixed up with something?
An elementary school, because it was just one high school. But
no, this was an elementary school.
Carter School.
Carter, that's the one.
That's in the Carey Square.
You don't mind if I hold you while I'm reminiscing here?
Oh,
just
no,
bringing
no.
back all these wild memories.
No.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for calling, Doc.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a commercial, and then Anthony Silva and the entire WBZ news team is ready to burst forth with all the news.
And they have a lot of it to report.
I'm sorry? They
have a lot of it to report this morning.
Don Batting is there, and we have, Gil Santos, and all
no,
kinds of
no,
people.
No, Gil's not here today.
Gil's not? Is his day off?
He's taking a day off. He has a well-deserved day off.
Didn't he invite you to the party?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever said a guy is having an ill-advised day off.
Well, you know, he has the party going on at your house right now.
Oh, really? That's why?
You're in for a surprise.
When you get home, you can clean up.
I haven't cleaned up in 3 years. Are you kidding?
I know. He noticed.
That's probably why he loves the party there. Anyway, that's Anthony Silva, Don Betty. They're both troublemakers, you know, so don't meet them privately.
No.
They're really rotten people.
So Tom Cuddy's joining us this morning.
Oh, Tom Cuddy.
Yeah, we're in the back resuscitating him now.
He was here till about, almost halfway through the night.
Halfway?
Maybe all through the night.
Oh.
Anyway, I think it's time to go. I think you're already about 30 seconds late. Because you're going to come on at 5:01. Are you going to say 5:01 or are you going to say it's 5 o'clock and rescue me?
Well, we'll all find out together.
Okay.
If it's happening now.
We are dealing right now with work crews southbound on the expressway, about a quarter mile beyond the South Station Tunnel. Northbound, an earlier accident on the northbound side of the Central Artery, just outside of the South Station Tunnel, an accident being cleared out of the way. Traveling outside of the city, so far Route 128 and the Mass Pike doing well. An earlier accident pretty much cleared from the Weston Toll area. And do remember, this is a long holiday weekend. We'll extend into Tuesday and beyond. Drive carefully and watch out for the other traveler. I'm Jack Hart, WVZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Dunkin' Donuts now has flavored iced coffees, hazelnut, and French vanilla. Ooh la la. World-famous Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Refreshingly cooled, deliciously flavored. At participating shops.
Norm Nathan. He's the talk of the town. Lift you up when you're down. Norm Nathan. On WVZ.
Oh, hello. We'll be around through the night, and nice to have you with us. There's some interesting people we'll be talking with, including a couple up at Loon Lake in the state of Washington who have bought a couple of cabooses and have built homes around it, or their home around it. And later on, also, we'll be talking with David Stewart. He's a man who walked 1,600 miles from his home in Gillette, Washington. No, not Gillette, Washington. Gillette, Wisconsin, to Nashville so he could appear on the Grand Ole Opry. He thought that he'd get enough publicity on that walk so that by the time he got there, they'd say, "Hey, David Stewart, we want you." Did they say that or not? We'll talk with David about that a little bit. And we'll talk with the Burrells in just a minute or two. Their home is made out of two old cabooses hooked to a smaller home that's shaped like a train depot. And why did they buy homes like this, this kind of a setup, and what is it like to live in that kind of a situation? We will find out, because I just thought you'd like to know. And we'll talk with the Burrells in just a minute.
Open regular store hours on July 4th for all your last-minute barbecue needs. From beef that sizzles to sauces that make your mouth water, Star has it all.
Well, the Dusty sounded like such a good kid, and she was having a birthday that she should have gotten one of those paper key rings, and so I'm sending one out to her with my happy birthday wishes. She probably won't get it till after her birthday,
but
you must be very proud of her. She sounds like a good little kid.
She had a wonderful time last night. We laughed so hard after we got done with the game, and She finally, about 6 o'clock in the morning, she finally climbed in the back of the truck and fell.
Well, I was surprised that she was up as late as she was, because little kids usually normally cannot hang in that long. But she said, now, do you have other children?
No, she's the only one.
She's the one, little Dusty. I think that's good. How did you happen to name her Dusty?
My wife wanted to name her, she wanted the same initials of mine, so... We just kept figuring it out. Finally, we came up with Dusty Lynn Wright.
Okay, so you didn't come up with, like, Darlene or Doris or any of that. Dusty is a cute, it's an adorable name.
She gets a lot of riding out of it from me and everybody else. So I talked to you, I guess probably 3 or 4 months ago. I run a skate rink down here in Maryland.
Yes, Dusty was saying that.
Yeah, and then I do this part-time at nighttime.
Is this ice skating or roller skating?
Yeah, roller skating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's her passion. She just loves to skate. And she went to the skate rink this evening, and she just told all her friends about this. I got to talking to them, and I said, well, you know, just turn the radio on, because these kids, they all stay up late at night.
I
told them, I said, y'all stay up late at night and listen to, you know, and it's so great. I mean, you keep us going here at nighttime. I mean, it's just wonderful.
I appreciate that. Let me ask you about skating, though, roller skating. I don't know of many roller skating rinks here now, though we used to have quite a few of them. Is that the kind of fading out, or is it?
Well, it has faded out quite a bit, but in certain spots of the country, I believe it's still going very strong, and competitive roller skating is in certain areas of the country is still going very strong. But it's roller skating tried to get into the Olympics a couple years ago and failed to get in. But we're plugging away at it, though. We're going to continue to plug away at it.
Okay, so you're doing okay then at your skating rink?
Oh yeah, we're doing real well.
Okay, now tell me where it is and the name of it.
The skating center I work for is called Calvert Skating Center. It's in Calvert County, Maryland. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a little story real quick. A woman that skates in my skating center, she lives closer here to Annapolis. Annapolis is about 45 minutes south of where the skating center is. And this woman, her nephew has leukemia, and he came down. We did a fundraiser at the skating center for this gentleman, and her mom and dad, the woman's mom and dad, live in Boston. And the last time I talked to you, they happened to hear me talking to you.
Oh, really?
And, well, as it turns out, she came to the skating center and was talking to me, and she said to me, "Were you talking to a gentleman on a radio station at WBZ out of Boston?" And I said, "Yeah, a couple weeks ago." And she goes, "Yeah, my mom and dad heard you talking to him." And it was just amazing that you can get that kind of, you know, you can, it's amazing that you guys can go so far and everybody hears you.
No, I know. I know you think, especially this time of the day, you'd think that, you know, who's listening anyway, but that's not true, because we get that kind of response from a lot of people throughout the years. It's always odd to me, too, because I still think that, you know, most people are asleep. Now, I understand that. I'm not kidding myself thinking everybody's awake, but you have masses of people who are still awake, and it's amazing the people they hear, because we get that from a lot of people. So, you know, I heard you, this person heard me out in Delaware, or that person heard me up in Illinois. It's a great thrill. I'm so pleased about that.
Yeah. Well, Dusty and I had a good time last night. We laughed so hard.
Well, that's great. Now, it was good to have you, although I didn't hear your, I heard your voice in the background.
Yeah.
And Dusty's had such a cute little voice. It was fun to hear. And being the father myself of two daughters, I think they're so precious, and you're so lucky to have somebody like that who obviously thinks enough of you to even want to ride around half the night with you. You know, that's really doing something.
Well, that's the first time in quite a while she's gone, and we were sitting at the house Thursday night, and she asked me, "Can I go tonight, Dad?" And I said, "Well, it's late. We're going to get home early in the morning." She goes, "Come on, Dad, I want to go." I said, "Okay, you can go." And then she started listening to it, because, of course, she's 14, she's into this rap music and rock music and everything. And I said, "Well, Dad, don't listen to that no more. I hear it enough at the skating center. So when I'm out here, it's just relaxing. It's very relaxing." And I said to her, I said, "Why don't you play the game?" And she said, "Yeah, I'd like to do that." So that's why I figured I'd.
Oh, that's good. Okay, you'll probably get the info. I wrote a little note with it explaining what spring peepers were, in case she's not aware of that.
Yeah, well, I explained it a little bit.
Okay, so, she'll get it sometime.
Well,
at the end of the week.
She wanted me to call you to say thank you, and I appreciate it, and she does too.
Well, I appreciate having you guys with us, and I thank you very much, Dave, and I hope it's a great weekend for you.
Well, thank you, Norma. I'll talk to you later then.
Fine.
Right,
bye-bye, Dave. Okay, that's cute. Yeah, his daughter. Dusty played the dumb birthday game. I guess he explained all of that. But she was cute. She's 13 now. She turns 14 in a couple of days. I don't know. This is the 4th of July, right around that time. And she says, as a result of that, her folks will let her go to the mall alone. Because kids, as you know, love to go to malls. And they parade around groups of young girls and looking at groups of young guys. And I suppose the young guys obviously do the same thing, too. Just kind of reminds you of your old kind of self-conscious days when you were going through that. 13, 14, they're interesting ages. called Anna Banana, and we were doing some jump rope little poems and stuff. Okay. What? Tell me yours.
Well, I had a jingle book. It's called Jump Rope Jingles.
Really?
For my daughter when she was about 8. That was 1960s.
Yeah.
And her playmates stole it. And I just never got it again. But one, this was in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good children go to heaven. Some fly east, some fly west, some fly over the cuckoo's nest.
that's cute. I was just looking. I wanted to see whether I had that book. Yeah, well, no, you know, this was a little different. The one I had here in the book says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good children go to heaven. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All bad children suck their thumb.
Oh, clever.
Makes you want to head outside and play some carefree games, no? And how about Norm briefly changing the number to WBZ? 257-1030. Hearing Paul Sullivan giving us some love was a nice surprise. And all the great callers. This was so nice to produce again for you all. Until next time, let's close the vault and leave this world a little sillier than we found it. For acting, collecting toys magazine, offstage announcers, dumb birthday game criteria, the Des Moines, Iowa pigeons, smooth giant leaps, double your money back offers, ladies going gaga, terribly boring topics, soup for a dime, the Sampson Air Force Base VA in Geneva, New York, clearing throats in unity, exchange students, frog collectors, Fred Grandy, Excel printing of Salem, New Hampshire, gypsy moths, cedar shingles by the old oak tree, penetrating thoughts, idiosyncrasies and superstitions, Americana, Better Way Books in Cincinnati, Ohio, fishermen in Finland who listen to WBZ, locker tuxedos, going to dinner with your bat, Mike Greenwell, Tim Wakefield, the knuckleball, stitches, dimples and holes, show themes, caterpillar stories from the 30s, classic expressions such as jeekers, gee willikers, and okie dokie, meter maids and men, Carrie Square, Anthony Silva, Don Batting, Tom Cuddy, cabooses, the Grand Ole Opry, Little Dusty, roller skating, Calvert's Skating Center, Spring Peepers, Jump Rope Jingles, Anna Banana, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, and the alliteratively named Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.
A 1936 caterpillar joke. Can you imagine this?
They put them back in the box and I mail them back to the commissioner. So when he opened them up, there's all these little caterpillars hatched out.